You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions, and thank you for joining me today. The Lust of the Eyes is the title of this devotion. You see, our eyes are quite powerful. It's pretty phenomenal, really, how we have been given this, you know, and it is so fearfully, meticulously, miraculously, supernaturally made, how the eyeball communicates with the optical nerve that communicates with the brain and helps us be able to see and see the difference of colors, to see nearby and far off. And it is all quite phenomenal how it is so fearfully and wonderfully made. And here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world." You see, our eyes are the constant object of the world's enticing powers that come to try to capture us, to look. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you has become darkened, how great is that darkness?" You see, it is so important that we guard our heart, not just by what we allow to come out of our mouth, but by what we give our eyes to. And the Apostle Paul has two great prayers in the book of Ephesians. One is in chapter 1 and the other in chapter 3. And then in chapter 6, he talks about praying with all manner of prayer by the Holy Spirit's help. But in chapter 1, he says, "I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of your calling and the greatness of the power by which that calling can be accomplished." You see, the light that is in us affects what we yield our eyes to. When you don't know Christ as your Savior and you're not made spiritual alive inwardly, then by the natural nature of the flesh, you suffer with blindness spiritually. It can be as obvious as it can be in somebody. Like Jesus said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify about me, but you will not come to me that you may have this life you're looking for." How can you say, "You know the Father whom you cannot see, when he is in me whom you can see, but me you will not receive"? Jesus Christ is the living expression, the embodiment of the only true living God. And yet, people reject him because what's obvious, they cannot see it because their understanding is darkened, because they're alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that rules and reigns in them, because of the blindness of their heart, Ephesians 4:18 says. They're inwardly darkened and blinded. But be encouraged, friends. It says in John 9, and I'll read from the Living Bible, verse 39, "I have come into the world," says Jesus, "to give sight to those who are spiritually blind and to show those who think they see that they really are blind." The Pharisees who were standing there asked him, "Are you saying we are blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But Your guilt remains because you claim to know what you are doing. Let me read that to you from the Passion Translation. I think this is really important, this little thought that I'm sharing with you. John chapter 9, verse 39. John 9. Okay, listen. Jesus said, I've come to judge those who think they see and make them blind. And for those who are blind, I've come to make them see. Some of the Pharisees who were standing nearby and overheard these words, they interrupted Jesus and said, You mean to tell us that we are blind? Jesus told them, If you would acknowledge your blindness, then your sin would be removed. But now that you claim you can see, your sin remains with you. What is this? Friends, Jesus prayed on the cross, you know it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So much of our lives, we're so spiritually blinded to not recognize the way we say things or how we say it or what we say is causing more damage than blessing. The way we act or react is causing more damage than blessing, and we can't see it. Even worse than that, we accuse somebody else when we feel we're being held accountable to the way we are. And we're trying to shun away having to be found responsible by saying, well, why do you, see, and that's the sin nature, the woman you gave me, the serpent, Adam and Eve said. And you see, that spirit of iniquity, that spirit of transgression, the opposite is in Jesus. He took the punishment we deserved. He took the blame we deserved. He was innocent, but took the punishment and the guilt that we deserve so that he could come to us and forgive us freely. But he comes to us with his light of life to open our eyes and bring us to repentance that we would say, Oh my God, help me. Forgive me, Lord. I really have misbehaved there. And friends, I so pray, if you misbehaved or you responded wrongly, don't justify yourself by condemning someone else. Just humbly ask for forgiveness. Don't say, well, you did this, that's why I did that, so you're blaming them while you're trying to. No, just say, the way I responded, how I said that was wrong. Please forgive me. How I spoke there was wrong. Please forgive me. How I acted there is wrong. Please forgive me. And you see, when you humble yourself in the sight of God by repenting, by taking account of your behavior, this will increase the light in your heart where you will be able to see more clearly and have the foresight to be able to know, no, I'm not going to say that. No, I won't respond like that. No, I will not act like that. And you can hold yourself back from making a mess of things in life. But you know, friends, we have an adversary out there that's going about trying to blind even those of us who believe. 2 Corinthians 4 says, But those to whom the gospel is veiled are those whom Satan has blinded. You see, the devil is cruel, and he's trying to cause you to not see. Jesus comes to do the opposite. I mean, if anybody was blinded and deceived, it was Paul of Tarsus. He thought he was so perfect and so blameless according to the law, and yet he was killing and destroying the church of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here in Acts chapter 26, when he's giving a testimony before Agrippa about how Jesus met him, he said, Jesus was calling. He was calling, Saul, Saul, verse 14, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goats. And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes. in order to turn them from darkness to light, listen, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, to open their eyes. I really believe, dear friends, that God would cause our eyes to not be captured by the lust of things. I'll tell you a silly example, but it makes the point. Virginia needed to buy something in the shopping mall. We were in the United States. And I was waiting outside of the store while she was trying something on. And there was a shop there that sells watches. So I'm just standing there waiting, and I thought, well, I'll go have a look. I wasn't going to buy a watch. It wasn't my time to do anything like that. And there was this watch there, and it grabbed my eyes. I mean, it grabbed them. And I looked at the price, like $1,600. No, never. I know some people, that not me. I have other responsibility with my wife and my children and my grandchildren and with my tithes and offerings, that no, sorry, that's not for me. You know, I'm not saying it's bad if you do, it's just not for me. And I said, like, what are you doing? Get off of me. And I walked away because it grabbed me. It's like, buy me. No, I don't want to buy you. No, I will not buy you. Yes, I love the way you look. Oh, my. No, get off. The lust of the eye. And I waited outside the store, and that watch was calling me. And I thought, no, I'm not answering. No, I'm not doing this. Leave me alone. The lust of the eye. Virginia came out of the store. We walked down the mall. All the way to the end of the mall, it was calling me. Come back and buy me. Come back and buy me. The lust of the eye. Isn't that something? It's a funny thing that is remembered in me. But I said no, and I never bought it. No way. You see, God would have you enlightened in the eyes of your heart, that your natural eyes can be kept by your spiritual eyes, by the light inside of you, that you have power within your heart, which you yield yourself to. Jesus says to you and me today, come in Revelations 3:18 and buy from me, invest in me, and I will give you gold so you may be truly rich. I will give you a life of true value. I will give you garments white as snow so that the nudity of your natural nature is not exposed, and I will give you eyesight so that you may see. See, the Lord Jesus wants to anoint your eyes to see what he wants to show you. Jesus said to the disciples who recognized him as the Son of God, the Christ, he said, blessed are your eyes, for what kings and prophets desired to see and did not, you see. You see, God wants to anoint your eyes to see. Oh my goodness, how I get caught up with his word and see wonderful, wonderful things in his word. And I just get so caught up. I get so blessed. I read this scripture somewhere in the Bible and the one of these last few days, and I couldn't stop praying it. I got so blessed in the Lord. You see, God wants to show you great and wonderful things in his word. God wants to show you the marvels of what he's working in precious souls, even those that are still very weak through the flesh, but already are partakers of the divine nature and are beginning to change. God wants to show you what a wonderful work he's doing in their lives. God wants to show you the marvels of his church and of his people. Oh, how I love to see the church. I come here to Life Church. I mean, my heart bursts with love for all these beautiful, amazing people. Come on, folks. Let not the lust of the eye be in the world, but let the love of God be in our eyes. Amen. Have a good day.